I grew up around saints who were who did not have any envy or covetousness in them at all. Some saints do. That's their problem. I grew up around saints, and none of them I grew around had that problem. I did not even know you were supposed to covet until I grew up. I didn't even know. It's like Uncle Joe said. He was 12 years old. He's got up with some neighborhood kids. And he saw him stealing some candy out of the store. He said, "I didn't even know I was supposed to steal." Found out he was supposed to steal when he was 12 years old. I didn't even know you were supposed to look at what kind of furniture people have, or look what kind of car, look what kind of. I never even was around that spirit to pick it up. We go visit somebody, and I could sit in the house and leave there and not even tell you what color the rug was if they had one. Most people I went to see didn't have one. The walls, the furniture, it was people. It was fellowship. That was the thing. And the other stuff didn't come to mind. It was just a place where they were passing through. It wasn't their kingdom. They were written to space. And so, Brother Jimmy, when he mentioned a little while ago about not really speaking the truth because you're concerned about whether or not they'll be able to do you a favor later. Never knew that world. But that's what I found was out there when I got grown. That's how the whole world functions. That's how the United States government works. It's built that way to compromise. Don't make me too angry and I won't make you too angry. I'll vote for your bill and I'll vote for your bill. That's how it works. That's the best men can come up with. God's not like that. You march into Canaan and say there's just one God, and He's ours. You don't cut deals with God. You just don't compromise what's holy and what's good and what's right. You just don't do it. And there have been saints of God who, when they got up and they found out what was right and they repented, they had to make a choice whether to confess Christ or hold on to a husband or to a wife or to lands or to a job. And they chose to confess Christ and they lost things that they never got back. And the issue is, are we going to be worthy to stand with them before Jesus? Now the glory of this is, for the young people, is that if you start walking in the Spirit young, you end up in fewer places where you have to make that choice. Amen. You don't, through sin, work yourself into a position where you've got to give up something your whole life's wrapped up in. You do it right to start with, and God blesses you all the way through. You're going to have your times where you've got to confess what's right. Everybody does. But it's a whole lot easier when you start younger. Where you don't end up with a family and a husband or a wife and three kids and then say, "I really want to get right with God." And you choose between God or me. And you've got all your money, you've got all your life, you've got all those years entangled in somebody that doesn't even want God. You don't cut deals with Jesus. Start out right. It's Jesus or nothing. No options. No options. Hallelujah. Just a matter of how blessed do you want to be. Amen. How willing are you just to be thrilled? Be overrun with blessings and peace and joy and have a life where you can look back and have no regrets. How willing are you to have it? It's there. It's there for whoever's wise enough, young enough to latch on to it. Phew, boy. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Don't waste your time. It's a gift from God. Yes, ma'am.
God has put me in a place of worship that I don't have to worry about where I used to have to dress up, wear my dress, match my shoes, and my hands and my bangs, all that. I don't have to worry about that. I just come like I am.
Amen.
It was just be clean.
Amen.
That's the place of worship. That's the sheepfold.
Amen.
But then in my heart, God has put me at a place in my heart where I'm so happy, where I'm so at peace.
Thank you, Jesus.
Glory to God.
Amen. Glory to God. Amen.
Amen. And I don't feel that I have to prove a thing.
Glory to God.
That's right.
Amen.
I got peace down in my heart. I really got peace down in my heart. I'm so satisfied.
Amen. Satisfied. Praise God.
Give her this when she needs that.
Amen.
Because, you know, and we get to pray, we say, Lord, order my steps.
Yes.
But, you know, if the Lord is ordering your steps, you know, what you need is there.
Yes.
You know, everything that I need, and I look at my life, how God takes a little, and God stretches a little, and it just makes much out of it. And I said, but Lord, to me, you know, I got a lot.
Yes.
I got a lot.
All of us do.
And you know, really truly, you know, I think I'm just as well off as
praise God.
Husband and wife working in the house.
Praise God.
I got as much as maybe if it was two people in my house I'm working.
Amen.
I got just as much.
Manana-masia.
And you know, I tell you what God does for me is just astronomical.
Yes, it is.
It is.
Praise God.
And I mean, God is just, he does it all. Everything that I need.
Praise God.
I don't even have to ask for it. All I have to do is just, if I think about it, he comes through somebody.
No.
But where he has placed me, and I appreciate so much what I am getting, Brother John.
Amen.
I appreciate that.
Praise God.
I know it's God.
Yes.
And I know it's from God. And I know you're a man of God. And I, you know, I can't put into words how much I appreciate you, Brother John.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God.
Me, I know a whole lot of people.
My.
Need what I'm getting.
Yes.
Getting.
Right.
But God fixed it so I could get it.
Praise God. Praise God. I like what Brother Earl taught me over the years, early on. Paul was accused of all kinds of wicked stuff. I heard one holiness lady said she, since she got right with God, she'd been accused of everything except burning a mill pond. That's just out there. But when the accusations and the feelings and all that flying around toward the truth, and our pastor who was teaching us the truth, you know, it can get kind of foggy and confused. You know, well, I want. And then Earl would say, well, why aren't they teaching the truth?
Yeah.
If he's such a wicked man, if he's done so much wrong, if God's abandoned him, he's blasphemed, like something, then why is he telling the truth and you're not?
Yeah. Why did you change?
Yeah. What was wrong with it? Amen. I love that. And everybody in here goes through spells where you feel the spirits in this world. You feel the spirit out there, confusion, condemnation, all that's out there. And there have been times in the past, Earl, I think about, I'm not worth much, this and that. Then I think about walking into Sister Weaver's home, 90 years old, and see her eyes brighten. She wasn't just brightening because a human being was walking in there, or you, or she was walking because there was fellowship.
Yes.
And I think, now somebody with that much of a hold on God can't love somebody who's as sorry as I think I am. They're not that wrong. Praise God. Amen. Amen. And that's how I feel about Sister Willie. I don't think she could love somebody who was wicked that much. Amen. I don't think. Woo-hoo. And I feel this way because Sister Willie has the spirit of holiness. That's all. Amen. It's my respect for the people that were over me in the Lord that saved me.
Yes, it was.
Because I thought about how Sister Fannie Mae, Sister Atkinson, how she felt toward me and how she felt toward you. I thought more of what she thought about her about than I thought about what I thought about me. And when the ones that were that I knew were in touch with God thought I was doing okay, that put my heart at ease. And the spirits that were around, the critical spirits, the spirits of condemnation, meant nothing. Because I meant nothing. They meant something. That's what kept me going. Praise God. Amen.
God. Amen.
Hadn't been for that early, it would have swamped us.
I know.
It would have swamped us. Yeah, it would have taken us on down. But we weren't looking at that. We were looking at the ones God had set up there to guide our souls. Amen. Praise God. Yes. 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 Praise God. Lord, let this really have what it wants. Let it have its effect, Lord. Somebody's obedience before us gave us the opportunity to obey God for those who are coming after.
Amen.
Amen.
If we obey God now, somebody else will learn to obey God later.
Yep.
Everyone before us, those old saints, they loved that heritage.
Oh, yes.
They loved it.
Yes.
And that's why passing it on.
Glory to God.
Passing it on.
Praise God.
You know, that's why I like that song,
Working
the Road. I love that song. I heard
Paul
sing it one time, and it just encouraged my heart. That's what we're doing.
We sure are.
It's wonderful.
Chapter 11. What's the first word of verse 1? Therefore, in other words, that's the result of the last verse. Moses didn't write this in chapters. That was just done a few hundred years ago, broken up. So when God, as a result of God blessing you the way he has, therefore you shall love the Lord thy God and keep his charge and his statutes and his judgments and his commandments always. And know ye this day, for I speak not with your children which have not known, and which have not seen the chastisement of the Lord your God, his greatness, his mighty hand, his stretched out arm. He's talking to the people who saw the earth open up as children, swallow the rebels in the wilderness. And his miracles, and his acts which he did in the midst of Egypt, unto Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, unto all his land. You could have been 19 years old when you came out of Egypt, or 18. You've been a teenager and seen all of that. He's talking to a lot of people who had seen the whole thing, whole story. And what he did unto the army of Egypt, unto their horses, and to their chariots, how he made the water of the Red Sea to overflow them as they pursued after you, and how the Lord hath destroyed them unto this day. Egypt still hadn't recovered. And what he did unto you in the wilderness until you came into this place, and what he did unto Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, the son of Reuben. Who were Dathan and Abiram? Who are they? Debbie? No. Not Dathan and Abiram. That was rebels in the wilderness. Sons of Reuben. How the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up, and their households and their tents and all the substance that was in their possession in the midst of all Israel. But your eyes have seen all the great acts of the Lord which he did. Therefore, because you've been blessed, there's a responsibility. Therefore shall ye keep all the commandments which I command you this day, that ye may be strong, and go in and possess the land whither ye go to possess it, and that ye may prolong your days in the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers to give unto them and to their seed, a land that flows with milk and honey. To whom much is given, much is required. For the land, whither thou goest in to possess it, is not as the land of Egypt, from whence ye came out, where you sowest thy seed and waterest it with thy foot as a garden of herbs. He was talking about the irrigation system. So the guy sat there beside the pump, and it was like a bicycle pump that pumped the water out of the Nile River into the ditches. That's how they watered it with their foot. Kind of rode a bicycle-like object and pumped the water out of the Nile. But the land, whither ye go to possess it, is a land of hills and valleys, and drinketh water of the rain of heaven. A land which the Lord thy God careth for. The eyes of the Lord thy God are always upon it from the beginning of the year even to the end of the year. Is a short list, of the blessings and curses that come with obedience and disobedience. It's talking mainly about having rain in due season so that grass will grow. In verse 18, therefore shall ye lay up these my words in your heart and in your soul, and bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they may be as frontlets between your eyes. I want to read these verses here, starting verse 13. And it shall come to pass, if ye shall hearken diligently unto my commandments, which I command you this day, to love the Lord your God, and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul, that I will give you the rain of your land in his due season, the first rain and the latter rain, that thou mayest gather in thy corn and thy wine and thine oil. And I will send grass in thy fields for the cattle, that thou mayest eat and be full. Take heed to yourselves, that your heart be not deceived, and ye turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. And then the Lord's wrath be kindled against you, and he shut up the heaven, that there be no rain, and that the land yield not her fruit, and lest ye perish quickly from off the good land which the Lord giveth you. Patsy, tell us something about the importance of rain.
These people knew what it was to have to depend on rain.
Right.
They knew you didn't have any crops without rain. If you didn't have anything you could raise to feed your cattle, then you didn't have any cattle. Who was it said the stall was empty? Which prophet was that? The stall was empty.
Yeah.
And the crib was empty. The crib was empty because they had no cattle and they had no horses in the stall to work the land.
Right.
And it all depended on rain. And I have been so thankful for the rains we've been getting lately. If I hear it thundering way off, and I just go to the door and say, God, thank you for wherever this rain is falling.
Amen.
And then I say, God, don't pass us by, but thank you for anybody that's getting it.
Yes.
I mean, people do not realize it. Water is the most important commodity we have.
Yes, it is.
It is. You could go longer without food than you could water.
Yeah.
And if you didn't have water, there's no way you could keep on having food.
It
does not just wind up in a tin can on the grocery shelf.
No, you don't need rain to have a grocery store, but you sure need rain to have what's inside it.
Amen.
You have to have clean, good water. Very important. And it's just in probably this generation, this past century or so, thereabouts, where people have been able to get past that. Industrial Revolution. You know, the products that are produced and people, big cities, bringing up where people hardly ever see anything but concrete, live and die in a city. They don't understand the concept the mercy of God sending rain.
That's why they misuse it. Make it filthy and dirty, you know?
Yeah. The water?
Waste it, yes. Yeah.
It doesn't come from itself. It comes from water that God sends. And He promised to give it if His people would obey Him. Therefore you shall lay up these my words in your heart and in your soul, and bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they may be as frontlets between your eyes. And ye shall teach them your children, speaking of them when you're sitting around your house, when you're walking along the road or riding down the road, when you're going down to sleep at night, when you get up in the morning. And thou shalt write them upon the doorpost of thine house and upon thy gates. Well, I guess my father was obeying that commandment when he had the signs out on the tree.
What did he write, Brother
John? Well, he had these big metal signs. I don't know where he got them, but they were about like this, made out of thin metal. And he nailed them on the trees. And they had different sayings from the Bible. One of them that I do remember is, ye must be born again. And they give the script, Jesus said, you must be born again. Scriptures underneath it. And there were a few others. I don't remember what they said. But that's what he had nailed on the trees in front of the house. Hard to be cool with stuff like that nailed in front of your house. But it was good practice for the days that would come when I had it in my heart. And then you feel the reproach of people. I already knew what it was like. Nothing to get used to. It was good. I thank God for it. That your days may be multiplied. Yeah, amen. Well, he lived 88 years old. That your days may be multiplied in the days of your children. Amen. In the land which the Lord sware to your fathers to give them, as the days of heaven upon the earth. Amen. What about heavenly days on earth, Jimmy? Amen. Heavenly days on earth. Verse 22 now. For if ye shall diligently keep all these commandments which I command you to do them, to love the Lord your God, to walk in all His ways, and to cleave unto Him, then will the Lord drive out all these nations from before you, and you shall possess greater nations and mightier than yourself. And then every place whereon the soles of your feet shall tread shall be yours. From the wilderness and Lebanon, from the river Euphrates, that's what he promised Abraham, all the way up to the river Euphrates in the north. Even unto the uttermost sea shall your coast be. If they would just obey God, the promised land would go all the way up to the Euphrates River. They would need 9 cities of refuge to cover that large territory. They never quite made it. There shall no man be able to stand before you. For the Lord your God shall lay the fear of you and the dread of you upon all the land that ye shall tread upon, as he hath said unto you. Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing if ye obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day, and a curse if ye will not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside out of the way which I command you this day to go after other gods which you have not known. And it shall come to pass, when the Lord thy God hath brought thee into the land, whither thou goest to possess it, that thou shalt put the blessing upon Mount Gerizim and the curse upon Mount Ebal. The Shechem is right here between these two mountains. And when they get into Canaan's land, you're going to see this in the book of Joshua, half the tribes stand on one mountain to pronounce the blessings of God, and half of them stand on the other to pronounce the curses of God. Just like reconfirming the covenant all over again. And Moses tells them what mountains, and that's right in the heart of the land of Canaan, where they all gathered. Are they not on the other side of Jordan, those two mountains, by the way where the sun goeth down, in the land of the Canaanites, which dwell in the champaign over against Gilgal, beside the plains of Moreh? Now in Genesis 12, when Abraham comes down into Canaan the first time, The first altar he built was there in the plains of Moreh. So the first time Israel goes, that's where it goes into Canaan. That's where they gather too. For some reason, God likes that spot when they first come in. Yeah, he went there too. When he came back from Haran, Jacob went across this way, and he camped in here. He bought Shechem. I mean, he was going to marry his daughter to Shechem.
Plains of Moreh, are they right there by Shechem?
Have to be somewhere, okay. Right in here, because that's where Moses says it was. For ye shall pass over Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you, and ye shall possess it and dwell therein. Wait a minute, Diane. You asked me a question here. I'm not too sure of.
The plains of Moreh.
Let's take some time here. I like this. Let's go to Genesis chapter 12 and see what it says there. Yeah, no, Gilgal's farther south. But it says in 12:6 in Genesis that Abram passed through the land unto the place of Sychem. That's Shechem. Unto the plain of Moreh. The Canaanite was in the land. Now look in Judges chapter 7. Talk about Gideon here and where he did his battle. It mentions in Judges chapter 7 verse 1 that the Midianites were by the hill of Moreh in the valley. And he's talking there. He's talking there, being up in this region. So the hill of Moreh is up north of there. But Sychem, do you even have your map books? Look in the back and look up Sychem and see if it isn't Shechem.
Well, they've got one here. They've got a Gilgal here with a question mark right here, too.
Okay. Possibility of another city called Gilgal. You know, there are two Bethlehems, one up north in Galilee and one down here where Jesus was born. One up north is almost never mentioned in your Bible. But so this Moses might have been mentioning Gilgal, referring to a different place than what we'll learn is Gilgal later. Plain of Moreh that Abraham came to was right around Shechem. And Mount Ebal and Mount Gerizim is right around Shechem. And that's what Moses is talking about when he says the plain of Moreh. Has to be. Too many coincidences coming together. Well, I really get interested in geography. I like to know where I'm talking about. For you shall pass over Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you, and you shall possess it and dwell therein. And you shall observe to do all the statutes and judgments which I set before you this day. Now these are the statutes and judgments which you shall observe to do in the land when you get there, which the Lord thy God, for the Lord God of thy fathers, giveth thee to possess it all the days that ye live upon the earth. This is really good. You observe all the statutes, all the judgments, all the commandments, all the days that ye live upon the earth. That reminds me of what Paul said. Let's read over here in Colossians. That's the way Moses was with Pharaoh. We're not going to leave one hoof behind. We can't leave our children. We can't leave our cattle. We can't leave half our cattle. We can't leave one cow. Because we don't know what God's going to require of us when we get over there. I think this is Colossians. Let's start in verse 9, chapter 1. For this cause ought we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. Colossians 1, verse 10. You know you can please God completely. You'll never please any other God. There'll always be more demands. It'll be more than you can think and do. That was what was so amazing about God at Mount Sinai is how little he required. Love me with all your heart. Treat your neighbor right. I'll take care of the rest. They couldn't take it in. You can please God 100%. He's easy to please. The spirits of this earth will sure confuse you about that.
Amen.
God can be 100% pleased with you. Moses had the same spirit Paul had. It's all or nothing. We don't leave any animals behind. We don't leave our children behind. We don't leave hostages behind. You don't leave any commandments out. You keep all His commandments, all His statutes, all His judgments, because they're all good and they all can be obeyed. You don't commit any sin. You please God completely. That's the life that's easy. All pleasing, being fruitful in every good work. You can do everything right. Everything. And increasing in the knowledge of God, even if you're doing it right. Strengthen with all might. He doesn't use the word some here one time. Strengthen with all might according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness. You can't be patient with joy if you're expecting it to run out. If you've set a time limit for how long you're going to have patience. I'm going to have patience with you till 2:30 tomorrow afternoon. Then I'm going to let you have it. Amen.
That's endurance, not patience.
Yeah, that's right. That's putting up with. All patience, with joy, giving thanks unto the Father who has made us meet, that is acceptable to be partakers, or fit to be partakers in the inheritance of the saints in light, who has delivered us from the power of darkness, all the power of darkness, and has translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, His only begotten Son. In whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God. He's God's clone. The firstborn of every creature. He came first. For by Him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him.
Amen.
And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist.
Amen.
Amen. Glory to God. And He is the head. Glory to God. He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. Amen. It doesn't matter what you've been through. Jesus has been there and done that. He's first. Amen. And it pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things to Himself. By Him, I say, whether they be things in earth or in heaven, Jesus reconciled all of it through His blood and made heaven a fit place to minister to God. Cast Satan out. Cleaned it up. Cast Satan out of here and clean us up. Make us a fit place to worship all spiritual worship and blessing to God. So that it's all acceptable. Amen. Still His temple. Still His place to work. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, it goes on and on. Well, let's go to chapter 2 here a little bit. For I would that you knew what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea. Oh, by the way, in verse 20, chapter 1, verse 21, I don't want you to leave that out. And you that were sometime, that's not all. You weren't always God's enemies because He's changed you. You that were sometime alienated enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now He has reconciled.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. You don't want to leave out that part. Amen. Praise God.
Verse 22 ought to be read, too.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
In the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight.
Amen.
If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you have heard, and which was preached to every creature that is under heaven. Why? Because the heavens declare the glory of God.
Amen.
Amen. Now, look at chapter 2. I want you to know the great conflict I have for you and for them of Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding. You know, when you have understanding, you're made rich.
Amen.
That is riches.
That is riches.
To know God. It's riches of understanding. To the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Every bit of wisdom and knowledge is hidden in Christ. All of it. All of it. He just gives it to people. He loves people. People know how to build buildings because Jesus has revealed something to somebody. All wisdom, all knowledge is hidden with him. Well, verse 9, in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, the divine nature of God. And you are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. You are complete. Praise God. Well, this is Paul's all gospel here. Amen. When the way Moses was talking reminded me of that. That's the way all God's men were. All of them. Still is true. That's why all things work together for the good of them that love God and are called according to his purpose. Because there's nothing left out. Praise God. Verse 2. Ye shall utterly destroy all the places wherein the nations which ye shall possess serve their gods. Doesn't make any difference if it's on high mountains, on the hills, or under any green tree. Just get rid of all of them. Because none of them are good. None of them. When the anointing of God came on me when I was preaching a sermon, I think it's on the New Birth series, if I remember right. And I was in Lexington, a radio station, doing that program. It scared me when it first came out. And you've heard it. When I told everybody that I had good news for you, listener, about which of these churches to join. Which of them? I said, I got good news for you. They're all wrong. That is such good news. It takes the burden off you to try to pick one. Try to figure it all out. You got 1,000 different ideas. Just throw it all away. Throw it all in the trash can. And go to the all-powerful one. He's available. Because of Jesus, he's available directly. You don't have to pick and choose anything. He's already picked and chosen for you. He chose Jesus and anointed him with power to go about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, raised him from the dead, and Peter said on the day of Pentecost, he made him both Lord and Christ. Well, there he is. Available. Open up the fountain of forgiveness of sins for anybody on earth who comes to God in Jesus' name. That's all right. Amen. 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 He made it so simple a fool doesn't have to make a mistake, Isaiah said, prophesying about it. It's good news to find out that it's all wrong and Jesus is all right.
Amen. That is good news.
And that He's available 24/7.
John, that's sort of like Moses saying, "Here, O Israel, there's one God."
Yes. What a relief.
What a relief.
I had read that many times before, but some years back, the first time I read Homer's Iliad, and you read in there about the heroes of ancient Greece and the gods and Mars and the contest and how Zeus could be fooled by his wife. She was for the Trojans. He was for the Greek. She fooled him and lured him behind a cloud one day so that some gods that she was working with could let the Trojans have a big victory, and how angry he got when he found out he'd been deceived. And you read all of that, and then you think what kind of world people lived in. The gods were just great big people. They would lie sometimes. They'd cheat. They'd do things just on a whim, just destroy somebody by, I really shouldn't have done that. And just all that. They lived in that world. And to hear Moses say, "Listen, Israel, the Lord your God is one Lord. You shall love Him with all your heart, all your mind, all your strength." Glory to God. What a relief for people who could take that in. Praise God. Praise God. Verse 3, "You shall overthrow their altars, break their pillars, burn their groves with fire. You shall chop down the graven images of their gods and destroy the names of them out of that place." It's all confusion. That's what God wants us to do in our hearts with every Christian denomination, every Christian sect, every Christian minister preaching his Christian doctrine. Wipe them all out of your heart. Get them out of the way and let Jesus teach you what's right. Do yourself a favor. Get rid of all of them. Don't play around with it. Be free and happy. It's all poison. All of it.
God or denomination you want to serve, there's no end to it. There's no pleasing that God or that denomination who you're serving. It always begs and wants more and more and more.
More and more.
And in your heart, you'll want to really serve God, and it just throws you in such confusion and turmoil and saying, "Why can't I ever please God? Why come it's not enough? What kind of God do I have to serve that makes me feel like this all the time?"
Amen.
That you can't ever have any rest or peace. And that makes it, your whole life of trying to serve something that's not God confusing.
That's why David said, "God, unite my heart to fear your name."
Amen.
Unite my heart. Don't let it be fragmented. Faith here and faith there and faith in this one, faith in that one. Wondering about the... Just unite it just to fear God. Amen. "You shall not do so unto the Lord your God, but unto the place." Just one place where all the worship took place. All the sacrifices. "Unto the place which the Lord your God shall choose out of all your tribes to put His name there, even unto His habitation shall ye seek, and thither thou shalt come. And thither ye shall bring your burnt offerings and your sacrifices, and your tithes, and your heave offerings of your hand, and your vows, and your freewill offerings, and the firstlings of your herds and your flocks. And there ye shall eat before the Lord your God, and ye shall rejoice in all that ye put your hand unto. Ye and your households, wherein the Lord thy God has blessed thee. You shall not do after all the things that we do here this day, every man whatsoever is right in his own eyes. For you are yet not as yet come to the rest, and to the inheritance which the Lord your God giveth you. But when you shall go over Jordan and dwell in the land which the Lord your God giveth to you to inherit, and when He giveth you rest from all your enemies round about, so that you dwell in safety, then there shall be a place which the Lord your God shall choose to cause His name to dwell there. There shall ye bring all that I command you, your burnt offerings and your sacrifices, your tithes, and the heave offering of your hand, and all your choice vows which ye vow unto the Lord. And ye shall rejoice before the Lord your God, you and your sons and your daughters, your men servants, your maid servants. And if cows could rejoice, they would too.
Amen.
And the Levite that is within your gates, for as much as he hath no part nor inheritance with you. Take heed to thyself that thy offer not thy burnt offerings in every place that thou seest, but in the place which the Lord shall choose in one of thy tribes. There thou shalt offer thy burnt offerings, and there thou shalt do all that I command thee. Amen. You know, he said, you've not yet, in verse 9, you've not yet come into the rest which God is going to give you. Look over into the little prophet Micah, which is near the end of the Old Testament, in the middle, in the midst of those 12 what they call minor prophets. Chapter 2 in Micah. He was watching the professional ministers rake in the dough and abuse the people and demand more and more and more. Seeing the poor oppressed in Micah chapter 2. And when God sent a prophet in verse 6, they would say, "Prophesy ye not," say they to them that prophesy. "Well, they shall not prophesy to them, that they shall not take shame. O thou that art named the house of Jacob, is the Spirit of the Lord straitened? Are these his doings? Do not my words do good to him that walketh uprightly?" When they listen to your doctrine, they get worse off. They know me less. "Even of late, my people is risen up as an enemy against God's prophets. Ye pull off the robe with the garment from them that pass by securely." You covet everything, demand everything. Verse 9, "The women of my people have you cast out from their pleasant houses. From their children have you taken away my glory forever." And look what God tells the righteous in the next verse. "Arise ye and depart." Get away from it all. "This is not my rest." Glory to God. Moses called it rest only because it was a figure of what God has for his people. This isn't your rest. Being surrounded by people plundering you and deceiving you and misguiding you, this isn't it. When Jesus came in Matthew 11, he said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." Amen. And he did. When the Holy Ghost came, God said, "This is the rest wherewith you may cause the weary to rest. And this is the refreshing." But even that was just a foretaste of what God's got. Still just a foretaste. Over in Hebrews, we're told there remaineth a rest unto the children of God. Amen. When you're no longer surrounded by the enemy. Amen. When sin is forgotten. Amen. Amen. And time has been forgotten. Glory to God. Hallelujah. God has a rest for his people. Amen. And we are going to it. You leave everything behind that causes trouble. And the way you show God you're willing to be saved and enter into that rest is that you stay away from sin right now. That shows him you really want to get there. You really want to have it. Verse 29. I like 28 too. "Observe and hear all these words which I command thee, that it may go..." This is Deuteronomy 12, 28. "Observe and hear all these words which I command thee, that it may go well with thee and with thy children after thee forever, when thou doest that which is good and right in the sight of the Lord thy God. When the Lord thy God shall cut off the nations from before thee, whither thou goest to possess them, and thou succeedest them and dwellest in the land, take heed to thyself, that thou not be snared by following them." They'll look better than you do. Their altars will be prettier. Their priests will have finer clothes than what you had out here in the wilderness. They'll spend more money on their temples, their instruments, and all the rest, but they won't have me. If you think God's the prettiest thing, you'll be satisfied. God is beautiful. You just have to have eyes to see it. Don't be snared. Don't be pulled in. Don't be drawn in thinking there's something there that's going to save your soul. It won't do it. What's the old saying? Curiosity killed the cat. Do not be snared by following them after that they be destroyed from before thee, and that thou inquire not after their gods, saying, how did these nations serve their gods? Even so will I do likewise. Thou shalt not do so unto the Lord thy God. For every abomination to the Lord, which he hateth, have they done unto their gods. Even their sons and their daughters have they burnt in the fire to their gods. What things soever I command you, observe to do it. Thou shalt not add thereto, nor diminish from it. And when they get into Canaan's land, what are they going to do if certain people start promoting worship of other gods? This whole chapter 13 deals with that. First of all, he deals with prophets who prophesy. Maybe something will come to pass that they say, and then they say, go worship other gods. He tells us what to do. What about family members that want to influence you to do that? He tells them what to do. What about just people in general? He tells them what to do. And here it is. If there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and giveth thee a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder come to pass, whereof he spake unto thee, saying, let us go after other gods which thou hast not known, and let us serve them. Thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet, or that dreamer of dreams. For the Lord your God is only putting you to the test. That's all that's going on. He's proving you. To know whether ye love the Lord your God with all your heart, or whether it's just with most of it. If you love God with just most of your heart, or half of your heart, you've got no problem with going into a Baptist place and worshiping with them. Because you got a connection with that same dead spirit. You got no problem with going into a Lutheran church and worshiping with them, because you got a connection in your heart with that same abominable lie. But if your whole heart and your whole soul and your whole mind and your whole strength is wrapped up in Jesus, you don't want to touch the filthy thing. It's beneath you. Amen. Can you get up and testify about Jesus in such places? Then what do you go for? What are you there for? What kind of communion are you after? Hallelujah. He's an all God. He won't settle for less. He's an all God. Amen. He demands every ounce of your soul, every ounce of your faith, for your good, that it may go well with thee and thy children after thee forever. Hallelujah. How much of an abomination do you want? How much will satisfy you? How much darkness are you really happy with? Glory to God. He would not go in there. Amen. He was after life. He was after truth. He was after reality in God. It's not a game. It's life and death. And the whole world wants you to die. Jesus wants you to live. And he gives you life. And more abundant life.
Wondereth out of the way of understanding shall remain in the congregation of the dead.
That's what it says. That's what it says in Proverbs. He that wandereth out of the way of understanding shall remain in the congregation of the dead. Amen. And their names shall be written in the earth. that forsake me. Oh, glory to God. My. Glory to God. If you're only 90% thankful, you're 100% in danger. Hey, glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. 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 If you're 99% satisfied with Jesus, you're 100% foolish. God, get every ounce of foolishness out of us. Wash our robes. It's Jesus. Woo-hoo. My. It's Jesus. He's always had a hard time getting his people to believe that. He's always had a hard time. My. Just be satisfied with him. He had so few of his own people be there. Give it up and just be happy in Jesus. Satisfied with him completely. As Sister Willie said in her testimony last night, sitting right in the middle of satisfaction. Amen. Glory. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Amen.